share with you, I believe, a very timely word. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 17. And we are going to read verses 26, actually 24 through 26. Say amen if you have it. You got to bear with me this morning. I've been battling the flu. I feel like I'm coming up out of it. Hello. I don't know about you, but when I get the flu, I feel like the world's going to end. I literally took the day off on Thursday, and I don't remember doing this since I was in high school, but I literally stayed in bed till 1 o'clock. But, I mean, I didn't move. Like I literally didn't move, and I was pretty sick, but I had a lot of time to think, and part of this message was formulated during that time. So I'm going to know tough times. God can speak to you then, too. Amen. Acts chapter 17, verse 26 and 27, the Bible says this: "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed time and history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us." Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your beautiful word. Lord, I ask that you would allow me to communicate it the way you gave it to me. I pray that you would give somebody hope and encouragement to step in to what you have for them. Father, I ask you that you once again allow me to decrease and that you may increase. We ask for your anointing. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. So this morning, I want to read you a little story. And I want you to think about what you would do if this happened to you. Imagine if a bank approached you and they told you that they would credit into your bank account every morning $86,400. Now, they agreed that they would do this for you every single day on one condition. Every morning, you would get this amount in your bank account, but whatever part of the balance you failed to spend the day before would be deleted from your account. Now, what would you do if that happened to you? Spend it all. I would pull it all out. Come on, somebody. I'd store what I didn't somewhere else. I was thinking about this, and did you know that you and I, we actually have a bank similar to this? You know what it's called? Time. Every morning, you are credited with 86,400 seconds. And every night, it writes off as lost whatever you failed to invest towards good purpose. It carries over no balance. It allows no overdrafts. Come on, somebody. Each day, it opens a new account for you. Each night, it burns the remains of what you failed to use. If you fail to use the day's deposits, the loss is yours. There is no going back. There is no drawing against tomorrow. You must live in the present of today's deposits. Invest it as to get from it all you can. The clock is ticking and running out. Make the most of your time today. Look at the person next to you and say, what do you spend your time on? You know, I've learned that time waits for nobody. And our theme right now internationally is the time is now. And if you weren't aware, you were a part of an international ministry. We are one of 500 churches worldwide. But our theme this year is the time is now. Now, this theme refers to an urgency of people stepping in to the calling God has for them, not tomorrow, but now. And the few truths I've learned about time is this: time waits for no one. Time can never be taken back. And I've learned that everyone has the same amount of minutes in the day. And what people choose to do with their time will determine what they accomplish in life. See, this morning I want to speak to you about God's plan for your life and making the most of your time. When you look at the scripture we read, it's a very interesting account, because here the Apostle Paul is addressing the Athens people. He's addressing certain men, and some of the things you have to know about the people of Athens is this: the people of Athens were very wise, and generally they were very religious people. And we know this because if you read a few verses earlier in Acts chapter 17, the Bible tells us that when Paul arrived, he walked around, and the Bible says this, that he arrived in Athens and was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. In other words, he walked into this city and he was emotionally bothered by what he saw. In verse 23, the Bible even tells us this, that as he walked around and he looked at all the altars that people had built to worship gods, there was one altar inscribed that said this: to an unknown God. So the Apostle Paul tells all the people that they are ignorant of the God that they worship, and he begins to tell them about the one true living God. And when I read this, I started thinking about society. And this sounds a lot like society today. We were at the grocery store the other day, me and my wife, and we were paying for our food. And there was a young man behind us, and there was two men behind him. Now, the two men behind this one young man, they had suits on, and you can tell they had the fire of God in them. And they went to tell this young man about the Lord, and this young man looked at him and said, "Nah, bro, I'm cool. I worship God, but I don't worship Jesus." And then the guy said, "Well, bro, you know, Jesus loves you." He starts telling him that God has a plan for his life. "I know we got a plan for my life, you know what I'm saying? But I worship my God. I worship him in my way." Who's ever said that? Come on, somebody. And it's interesting because that scenario defines society today. People have become so apathetic. They're insensitive to the Spirit of God. And like the Bible says, in the last days, people will turn from the truth and hear and listen to what their itching ears want to hear. Now, the question I have for you, Victory Outreach Tacoma: does it bother you when you see people are lost? The Lord was really urging my spirit, and he said, "Eric, it should bother you when you see somebody hurting. It should bother you when you see a young man struggling with no direction. You should make it your priority to tell them about my glory." And I say it like this because we got work to do. We can't wait for tomorrow. Sometimes we wait for the perfect opportunity to jump into God's calling. God says, "No, I need you right now. I don't, as a matter of fact, I needed you 10 minutes, but because I'm a gracious God, you can jump in right now." See, I've learned you don't got to be perfect to follow God, as long as you're willing to live a repentive life. Because you can be bad today, and as long as you truly acknowledge God and repent from your sins, you can do the work of the Lord. The issue is this: understand where you are at this time and know that it's going to take time to change. We as God's people, we need to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We need to proclaim what God's plan is for all of mankind. This world is searching for truth. This world, they're searching for peace. This world is searching for something that is real. That's why you and I as believers, we need to read the word, internalize it, and allow it to change us so that we can walk right, because people can sense a fraud. Come on, somebody. I've been there. They're like, Christians do that? That's how you guys talk? Hello? Some of our family members ain't got no problem calling us out. Understand this. It's not enough to teach and preach with conviction. It's not enough. It's not enough to teach and preach with conviction. The more we know about the Bible, what it means, and how we apply it to our life, is the more convincing our words will be. But we got to allow the word to internalize within our hearts so that we can be effective out there. Because I've known some people that they can recite the Bible left and right, but there's no power. There is no evidence of the anointing of God upon their life. They know the truth. They have the right activities, but because they haven't allowed the word to change who they are, they don't have victory in their life. Back to the Apostle Paul. So here the Apostle Paul is addressing these men. And because he knows his audience, he begins to build a case for them about the true living God, since they were worshiping a number of gods. And then he tells them in verse number 24, the God who made the world and everything in it, he is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. But what he says really struck me, because after he tells them that, this is what he says. From one man, the Bible says, from one man, he created all the earth. And then he says this, he marked out their appointed times in history and their boundaries for their land. Did you know that God marked a specific time for you to be alive in history? See, God has a plan, and you're a part of that plan. That gets me excited, because I have a tendency to always second-guess myself. Wave at me if you know what I'm talking about. Yes, I do it too. And the Lord was ministering to my heart, and he said, yes, Eric. Yes, I have called you at this time in history to take over the Church of Tacoma. He said, this is your time. This is your time to put into practice everything you have learned, every battle you have overcame. Now is the time for you to step into what I have. See, some of you, you have big dreams, and I got good news for you. You can dream big, because God wants you to be successful. God wants you to do great things and to bring glory to his name. But you got to understand something. He appointed a specific time frame for you to be effective for him. And I'll prove it, because he said he marked out their appointed times in history. Do you know that word time? In the Greek, it's defined as kairos time. You know what kairos time is? Kairos is a measure of time. It's a fixed time defined by a time that you're supposed to do something. It's a time where things are brought to crisis. Man, that's some good stuff. Some of you have been contemplating if you should get involved. Some of you have been asking God, God, when is my time and what should I do? I got good news for you. Your time is now. This is your fixed time. This is your time appointed in history to do great things for God. God has marked out your time in history. You look in the Bible, there was a number of examples of men who God called for a specific time. Times of crisis. Many of you know the story of David, King David and Goliath. How many know the story? See, David was risen up during a time of crisis. It was a time of war. Now, 1 Samuel 17, verse 16 says this, for 40 days and for 40 nights, a giant by the name Goliath taunted the army of the Lord. What is interesting about the number 40 is that the number of 40 often appears in the Bible during times of judgment, trial, and crisis. So for 40 days, the army of the Lord trembled in fear while this big giant defied the army of the Lord. There was no one in that army that had enough courage or faith to fight the giant. But how many know there was a time in history where a young shepherd boy, hidden in the shadow of God's hand, who was attending the sheep and protecting the sheep, stepped on the scene. And it was on the 40th day that David understood, this is my time. When he looked at Goliath, he didn't see a giant. What he seen, that there was an X on the ground. An X marked the spot where he would stand and slay the giant. Some of you got to stop looking so hard and start realizing it's time for you to step in to what God has for you. Because if you look around right now, there's a crisis. People are literally dying. High schoolers are dying. Suicide in high school is at its all-time high. Kids are dying because of the lack of hope. Children are taking their lives because they have no friends. Listen, if you're young and you're in this place, you should be nice to people. Befriend people. Don't be mean. Come on, somebody. Because how many know kids could be mean? You ever see little kids? Man, they say some crazy stuff. I mean, they're like honest. And sometimes we could be like that. But just know this. That David, he didn't have it all together. As a matter of fact, when he said, he went to the king, he said, is nobody going to fight him? He said, let me fight him if nobody's going to fight him. And you know what they did? They said, wait a minute. This is what you need. And they put the King Saul came and put his armor on David. And David tried to walk around. He said, he took it off. He said, I cannot wear these clothes. I cannot move in them. In other words, David understood his identity. He didn't have to put on the clothes of the king to fight the Goliath. He knew God had called him. He was comfortable in who he was. And he went out to the battlefield. And history was written because one man understood it was his time. There was a lady by the name of Esther who was risen up during a time of crisis. If you read in the Bible, the book of Esther, it's a very interesting story. But during her time, the Jewish people were a minority in the world. And they lived in a hostile world where people were mean to them. And the king of that time had agreed to exterminate all the Jewish people from Persia. That was the king's plan. But how many know God had another plan? God was already at work. See, God had overhauled the king's decision to harm the Jewish people by using a queen by the name of Esther who would intercede on behalf of the people and risk her life. Because she understood it was her time. Esther 4:10-14. Esther chapter 4 verse 10 and 14 tells you a part of the story. It says this. Then Esther spoke to Hatchet and gave him a command from Mordecai. Mordecai was her cousin. All the king's servants and the people of the king's province know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court of the king who has not been called, he has but one law. Put them all to death. Except the one to whom the king holds the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself, I've not been called by the king in the last 30 days. So they sent the message to Mordecai. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther this. Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all of the Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jewish people from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? She was risen up into royalty, not because she had favor. The favor had a purpose. Some of you, you want favor, but you're not going to use it for God's purpose. Therefore, you don't get favor. And you're like, man, I'm doing everything God wants me to do. But God says, no, there's more. God says, I want to give you more. This is why I talk about finances even. Some of you, if God blesses you, will you use it for his glory? Now, God will give you everything you want. The question becomes, will you be willing to use it for his honor and his glory? Esther risked her life by going into the court. And like you heard in the scriptures, back in those days, anybody who went into the king's courts and they were not called, they would die on the spot. But King Esther risked her life by asking King Xerxes to save the Jewish people. Listen to me. God, like King Esther, has marked a time in history for you to make a difference. Amen. Esther would later reply to her cousin Mordecai this. Esther 4:16, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor neither drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Yeah. Esther took her place in history by standing at a time where no one else did. Did you know that a hero can be birthed in an instant? Heroes are people who step up, step in, and overcome during a time of crisis. Some of you, you're heroes. Some of you, the only thing keeping you from being a hero is your inability to step out. Because there's opportunity all around us. At my job, at your job, in your school, somebody needs to know that you are there, and know this, you have the goods. Why am I telling you this morning? Because the same way God appointed a time in history for David, for Esther, for Jesus. That's what Palm Sunday is all about. It was an appointed time in history where the fulfillment of the Messiah would come and start his road on the way to the cross of Calvary. God has a plan for your life. That plan is to make a difference. That plan is for you to shine for his honor and his glory. And know this, time is short. Time is not something we have. Some of you, you don't have a second chance. You burnt that one already. Come on, somebody. There is no other life for me. Ephesians 5:16 says this, make the most of your time because the days are evil. God has appointed a time for you in history to do great things for his honor and his glory. If there was ever a time, listen to me, if there was ever a time we needed leaders to stand up and be counted, it's now. Pierce County is big. And I believe that God's called this church to make an impact. Just look around you. Look at the empty seats. Some of those empty seats are supposed to be your family members. Some of those empty seats are supposed to be your friends. Now, some of you, you know somebody that's hurting. I know people right now that need my love. This morning I was texting people. This morning I was trying to get a hold of people. That's the urgency we need to have about reaching people. So the scripture says that God appointed their time in history. The second thing that it says, God determines their boundaries. This is heavy. Because this word boundary literally translates as a set of bounds or limits. And I thought this was interesting because did you know that God sets the limits of not only your dwelling, but of your influence? That's heavy stuff. God has set our boundary as a church to spread the gospel through all of Pierce County. And some of you, you're here this morning, and you know God has called you. And I want to encourage that pioneering spirit again where you say, God, count me in. I don't know where, I don't know how, but I'm available. If you see me fit, I'm willing. Send me to another city so that I can start a work. I can preach the gospel and reach other people. Because that's the business we belong to. Victory Outreach, part of our mission statement is to go and plant churches, rehab centers in strategic cities of the world. Why? Because we want to work with those that nobody wants to work with. If God was walking the face of the earth today, he would be in the ghettos. He would be in the dark places where nobody wants to go. And that's who God would raise up. Because Peter was a knucklehead. Come on, somebody. Peter even cussed. Don't be cussing now. Come on, somebody. God knows how to take a broken life, put it back together, and put it on a pedestal to bring glory to his name. Joshua 13:1 in the New Living Translation says this, and this should inspire some of you. When Joshua was old, an old man, the Lord said to him, "You are growing old in advance, but much land remains to be conquered." Listen to me, Victory Outreach Tacoma. There is still much land that needs to be conquered here in Pierce County. This church, listen, we are called to go into Tacoma, Lakewood, University Place, Tillicum, Parkland, Puyallup, and Steilacoom, and bring glory to his name. Whether we plant Bible studies, whether we plant more churches, whether we plant a campus, who knows? Maybe this building is going to be a campus. Maybe we're going to launch ourselves out of here in a couple, come on somebody, we're going to have a bigger building, and this would be a youth center or a center where we can just have meetings. The question becomes, are we willing to be counted for God? Because God has called us during this time in history to make an impact. And know this, he has set our boundary. And he has a plan. Now, this is what you got to be careful with. We're small right now. And we're okay with that. The Lord was ministering to me because I've been like, God, how are you going to do it? And the Lord says, you keep growing. You keep seeking me out. You keep learning. You keep enduring. Let me do the work. I don't need your strategy, Eric. I don't need you. Listen, I don't need you to stand on your own strength. I need you to draw strength from my presence. I need you to find me. I need you to go after me. Come on, somebody. And in that, God will open doors that you and I could never open by human strength. God wants to do a new thing, and he's calling you to do it. But until you seek his face and allow the word of God to transform your life, we cannot possess the favor and the power that he intends us to walk through. And I mentioned that we're okay with being small because of this. Heavy scripture, catch this. 2 Corinthians 10:13. We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits. Some translation says, we will not boast beyond our measure, but will confine our boasting to the sphere of service God himself has assigned to us, a sphere that also includes you. That's some heavy stuff. The sphere that God has assigned to this church is Pierce County. And as we start taking in the word of God, applying it to our lives, God will increase our limits. Did you know that you can ask God for more? You can. Now be careful that you don't always, that's the only reason you pray. Because there are some people, the only time they pray is when they need more. God, I need you to get me out this rut. Come on, somebody. But you can ask God for more. You can actually ask God to expand your limits and your territory. I'll prove it to you. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, there was a man by the name of Jabez, and listen to what he said to God. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him his request. This man, Jabez, asked God to enlarge his territory. And the Bible tells us that God granted what he requested. Listen to me. If you're living a life where you are committed to bringing him glory, if you're committed to holy, upright living, and if you're committed to the process, there is no reason why you should not be able to ask God for whatever you want. So here the Apostle Paul is speaking to these people, and he tells them, the God who formed everything also created the earth from one man. And then he goes on to tell them, he sets their time in history. He gives them their boundary. So now that we know that, what next? Because there are many of you, you're here this morning, and you've known for years God has something for you. You're here this morning, and you know God's marked your time in history. But you're at a standstill and you feel like you're running against the wall. Who's ever been there? Just kind of wave at me. Well, the Bible tells us what we're supposed to do next. Because immediately after he says, God has set people's time in history and set their boundaries, listen to what the word says. God did this so that they would seek him, perhaps reach out to him and find him. Perhaps in our seeking God, we're going to find the next step to our life. See, I've learned this, that the next steps for me to be successful is found in my relationship with God. It's not found in my human strategy. It's not found in the reading of books, but it's in my relationship with God. We have to seek God out, and perhaps, just maybe, when we seek him, we're going to find him. Understand this, God desires to have a personal relationship with you. How do we do this? According to scripture we just read, we have to seek him. Now, how do we seek him? Two things. Prayer, you got to spend time with God in prayer, and you got to examine the word of God. Don't just read the word of God. Because people can tend to read the word of God like a novel. But when you examine the scriptures, that's just a little bit different. You start asking those questions. Well, who was God talking to? Well, why did he say this? What was the setting? What was happening? What does that word mean? And when you start doing that, God begins to reveal to you spiritual truths. Because the Bible says he desires to unlock, listen to me, the truth of his word for you and your family. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Not just for something, but with all of your heart. James 4:8, draw near to me and he will draw near to you. Deuteronomy 4:7, I love this scripture. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord God is near us whenever we pray to him? God has not only set your time in history, he's not only marked your boundaries, but the next steps for your life are going to be found in your relationship with God. God desires to give you this world. He said we were called to inhabit the land. We weren't called to be strugglers. Come on, somebody. We weren't called to struggle. We are called to subdue the land and work it. And if you look around right now, just drive through the ghetto. Sin has beat up neighborhoods. It's not hard to see. There are certain neighborhoods that are manicured. But man, go into some of the low places in our surrounding neighborhood. It's not hard to see that sin has beat this place up. And I am committed to not only preaching truth, but we got to go out there and we got to change Pierce County for Jesus. By the time we die, listen to me, people will have known that there was a church that lived the word of God and was not afraid to tell the truth. Lord was really ministering to me, man, because I've been banging my head. God, how are you going to grow the church? I know you want to grow this church. I know you want to grow your people. I know you want to expand our territory. And the Lord began to minister to me. What you need is my presence in your life. What you need is the presence of God in that church. God forbid we ever come to a place where we're focused on a little program. We're so focused on the knobs and the electronics, even the music. But getting to a place where the presence of God is here. This is why it's so important that you come early and you grab a hold of the Lord before service. Because sometimes the word isn't going to do it. Sometimes you saying hi to somebody isn't going to do it. But the presence of God is able to break the yoke of bondage. When people walk in, listen to me, it's his presence that attracts people. In some senses, I felt convicted. Because the training we need to be doing is on our knees. As a church, we need to spend more time praying. And it doesn't necessarily have to be here at the church. When I was coming up, I was willing to do anything for God. And I remember people would get with me. They'd call me, and instead of just, hey, you want to have a cup of coffee? They'd say, hey, can we get together? You want to pray? At first, I thought I was like, well, you want to pray? Okay, let's do it. Three or four guys would get together. We would get on our knees. We would begin to start praying for our friends. We would begin to start praying for our family members. And to our surprise, our prayers started being answered. Because we weren't seeking for the blessings. We sought the blesser. And in turn, every one of those men who dedicated themselves to prayer and reading of the word have been blessed. I've learned I don't have to chase the almighty dollar. God is going to meet the need. But he desires to do it through you. I simply make this point because I can sense that some of you are frustrated. You're asking God, what's next? Understand this. You can pray all you want. But if you don't internalize the word, listen to me, you got to catch this. Because there are some people that all they do is pray. And that's not a bad thing. Those people will experience the presence of God. This is the problem. They'll find the peace of God in prayer, but then when they walk out because they didn't allow the word to transform their life, guess what? The peace stays there. And there are so many people there, they don't get it. So they go back to prayer. They go back to prayer. And this is the only place where they have peace. This is the only place where confusion and the dust settles. But listen to me. Watch this. If that same person balances it with not reading the word, but examining the scripture, what the word does now roots you. So guess what? The power that is evident in men and women of God's lives is the living word that is active within them when they step out. See, because by faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So now you couple them together. Now you got somebody, listen, they could walk and they can sense God. When they're at pain, and then they look up. And the Lord puts somebody on their heart, pumping gas, and they're drawn. Why? Because the Spirit of God was evident outside of the prayer closet. And there are some of you, the only time you feel the presence of God is here in church. God desires for that presence to go into your household. But listen to me, there needs to be a balancing act here. Because this is the other thing. The other type of person is, all they do is read the Bible. They don't spend time in prayer. There's a downfall to that too. The downfall to people that know the Word of God and that don't pray, they tend to be insensitive, judgmental, and they could be legalistic. So they're the ones that judge everybody in the church. Well, they don't do this. How come they're not doing it biblically? It says we should all be doing it. Why am I the only one here? Why am I here early? And people that only pray are emotional. Oh! Oh! When you balance them out, you're more like, come on, somebody. It's our time. It's your time. Take your place in history. When God thought up 2016, he already knew. Listen to me. He already knew. Listen, I was thinking about this, and the Lord was, I was sick, and I just had a lot of time to think. And he said, Eric, I knew that in November the 2nd of 2014, I already knew you would take over the church. And I used to ask God questions. Why do I go through so many things? Why are all my other friends going out pastoring? Come on, somebody. Why is it taking so long? It makes sense now. So know this. Your time doesn't necessarily mean you're going to shine. Your time might mean for you to be in the shadow of God's hand. Some of you, you got to be committed to the process. And know this, that in your commitment to the process, you will not delay the timing of God. The call of God is irrevocable. But that doesn't mean it can't be delayed. Why do you think in that scripture with Esther, when Mordecai told Esther, if you don't stand up and if you stay silent, what did he say? Deliverance will arise from another place. People are dying. And if you're the one called to go and you don't, had I not said yes to go to Tacoma, God would have risen another man up. But you know how I live my life? I refuse to live a what if. We talked, and I was afraid. And I remember I thought to myself, it would kill me. What if we had gone to Tacoma? What if? Some of you, what if? What if? What if you stood up? What if you jumped in? What if you reached out? What could God do in your life? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Hallelujah. This morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I simply want to examine your life.